Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Every once in a while, I like to remind myself that butterflies can see many more colors than we can. Their eyes are designed so that they can see light which humans simply cannot see. And there's also a strange ocean creature named the mantis shrimp, which can see even more colors than butterflies. It has 12 cone receptors in its eyes, while butterflies use only 4. And humans use just 3. We can let our imaginations run wild, but we will never be able to see the colors that butterflies or mantis shrimp see. Our human eyes have built-in limitations that other parts of creation are not subject to. And we also don't live as long as bowheaded whales, which have an average lifespan of 200 years. And we don't live as long as most trees, which, like the white oak or most pines, can easily live between 150 and 300 years. Every once in a while, I like to remind myself that we humans can't expect to get all the advantages of the created world. Some belong to us, and some do not. But one of the gifts given to human beings, which trees and bowheaded whales and butterflies and mantis shrimp all lack, is the ability to speak in eloquent and nuanced language, and the ability to translate that language into a written word. We humans have a remarkable ability for language and speech, for storytelling and description. And a rare group of human beings have the capacity to speak or write in such memorable ways that they can change our perception of the world, or even change the world itself. Shakespeare had that gift, and so did St. Paul. And there are moments in St. Paul's epistle that are so sublime that I would not trade them, even for the chance to glimpse the color that butterflies see. And St. Paul's passage in 1 Corinthians is one of those sublime passages. It's strong and clear and unyielding. It rings so true that it's easy to imagine that a divine insight guided Paul's hand. 1 Corinthians 13 outlines for us another deeply essential human quality. And Paul instructs us on its power and its purpose. He wants us to know in our bones that humans are nothing without it, no matter what else we might have: money, political power, fame, a great intellect, a dazzling beauty, or even faith. Without it, he tells us, we are hollow shells. And then St. Paul goes on to name this essential part of our soul and to tell us how to exercise it. He writes, "Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in the wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Every time we hear this passage, we know that St. Paul is right. We can hear his sublime wisdom ringing true. But every time I hear this passage, I also know that I can't live out my life at that lofty altitude without more direction. I need pragmatics to help me ground Paul's wisdom in my everyday life. And maybe you do too. I was sitting in my church office last week, puzzling over how to translate such a sublime passage into concrete steps for modern Christians, when I went up to the second floor to look for someone. And that's where I found it, a practical translation of Paul's insights. It was our third graders and our teacher's room that I walked into by mistake, and a big poster was tacked to the wall. And under the words, "Awesome God, rejoice, Jesus loves me, and hallelujah," there was a word, "rules," and 10 numbers underneath it with bullet points. Here's the pragmatic translation. Number one, have fun. And number two, no hitting or punching. Number three, treat others as you want to be treated. Number four, indoor voices. Number five, work hard. Number six, be nice. Number seven, listen. Number eight, use tools appropriately. Number nine, be respectful. And number 10, my favorite, participate. Some of our congregation's youngest humans were already hard at work following Paul's letters to the Corinthians, and they didn't even know it yet. Their list is deceptively simple. But if you really think about that list, it's harder to do every day than we might want it to be. As adults in our workaday world, I think we can get far away from the basics, as well as forgetful of the sublime. So I really want to thank our third grade teachers and their students for doing such a good job of summing up the power and purpose of love. And I think St. Paul would recognize love's actions in those 10 bullet points. And I know that when I came across them, I realized that when I remember to do all of those things, I'm closer to living out God's hope for my life. I'm closer to following Paul's invitation. The church fathers of the early church, the church fathers of the first three centuries of Christianity, used to like to talk about all of life being a school for love. They were certain that as long as we were living, we had the chance to learn more about God's love for us. And they imagined life as one huge classroom with God as our teacher. So whether sublime language or classroom bullet points resonate best for each of us, may we practice loving one another as God loves us. Amen.